Sunday, Apostle Dutch Sheets, really is an apostle to our country, is going to be with us, embarking on what he believes is a very important apostolic and prophetic season for the body of Christ and for America. So we're excited to kind of be at the forefront of where he's launching and doing in this season. And it's just going to be an awesome time. God has raised up in your lifetime prophets and apostles who were mostly absent from church for 1,700 years. And this is a dynamic time. There's just never been a time like this. This is the best time to be alive and serving Jesus. So just a couple of things. There are more Christians alive right now than all of Christian history combined. Amen? We're believing that in the next decade, over 1 billion new people will come to Christ. And lots of people are believing that, working for that, and endeavoring through outreach to do that. This past weekend in a church, in a rock church, this church is belonging to the network of churches that we're a part of, over 1.5 million people attended church just in our little movement. So God's doing things. There's movements like ours all over the world. It's a wonderful time to be alive. Just 100 years ago, there was the Holy Spirit, as we partake in fellowship and enjoy and benefit, wasn't fully expressed in the church. People didn't speak in tongues. People didn't then flow in the gifts of the Spirit. There wasn't a miraculous outcome because the Holy Spirit was outside of the parameters of acceptable church practice. But you're living in a time when the Holy Spirit has been re-welcomed. He's been reintroduced to the church, and it is a wonderful thing. And people all over the world are being filled with the Holy Spirit every day. Every day, 250,000 people come to Christ. And no matter what they tell you about Islam and all these things, the fastest growing thing in the world is Pentecostal, charismatic Christianity. It is wildfire across Africa now, across Asia, across all parts of the world. We are pointing our faith toward Europe to reignite that continent and, of course, in our own beloved town and state. So this is a wonderful time to serve Jesus. Amen? Remind yourself of the privilege of this moment, not just with technology, science, medicine, and all the things that make our lives better and our life spans longer, but of the spiritual importance and value of this time. As Peter said, we are the children of the prophets. We are enjoying the legacy that's been laid down before us. Tonight I'm speaking a message that I will continue when I'm allowed to in the next few weeks, called Tipping Point. Tipping Point. Our main text, in fact, our only text, will be Acts chapter 10. If you have your Bible, your notepad, or just can look up at the screen, Acts chapter 10. The Bible is living. It's the only book that lives. The Bible is the inspired, inerrant, without error, Word of God. The Bible is God's love letter to us. Your life as a Christian can only succeed as far as you, as your belief in the Bible. So today we have a sophisticated, it's just old stuff redressed in modern day philosophy. But people are saying, well, you know, there's a lot of good things in the Bible, but a lot of bad things too. If you approach the Bible that way, you can't succeed as a Christian. So the Bible is God's word. And you have to believe it is the inspired word of God, infallible, inerrant, that it is God's love gift to us. Or else whenever you disagree with the Bible, you'll say, well, that just was for that time or that culture, especially New Testament teaching of Christ, teaching of the epistles. So when the way you honor God is to honor his word. And when God's word is honored in our life, we benefit then from the full dynamics of his kingdom. Okay, Acts chapter 10 is Tipping Point. It's your breakthrough time. I hope you're ready. There's an avalanche of glory about to invade this generation, about to invade our city, about to invade your family, your life. And the Lord told me to tell you there is a tipping point that heaven has ordained for your life in this next season. Acts 10:1, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius. A centurion, a Roman soldier, a middle management, 100 soldiers under him, of what was called the Italian regiment. A devout man and one who feared God with all of his household. Now the Bible then helps us understand devotion. Who gave alms generously to people and prayed to God always. So devotion is expressed in that way, in the way you pray and the way you give. He gave and he prayed, and the Bible then collects those as devotion and the fear of God. He is a convert to Judaism, even though he's a Gentile. So he's someone who recognizes the one true God as a Gentile man introduced to Judaism, but he's someone really hungering for more of God. So this guy is praying. So a couple of points. Number one, consistency is the evidence of maturity. So he didn't just pray, he kept praying. He didn't just give, he kept giving. So the way you create a tipping point in the spirit is to do something consistently until it changes the environments of your life. So he's doing it. So consistency is the evidence of maturity, and consistency is the key to victory. So anything that you win that you're not consistent on how you won it, you'll lose. So any ground you gain that you didn't gain through a consistent, developed, matured understanding of God, anything you gain instantaneously that you're not developed enough in consistent maturity to maintain, you'll lose. So consistency is, so the Bible, the, you know, a lot of ways of describing it. Faithfulness is a evidence of consistency. And Jesus taught about faithfulness, that he that's faithful with little will be faithful with much. He that faithful is natural things, faithful in spiritual things. The faithful man will be blessed with increase, the Bible says, promotion. That it's hard to find a faithful man. So the Bible speaks much about the importance of consistency. So that's what God's looking for in our life. Amen? He's not looking for a glorious one-night stand. He's looking for a long-term marriage with us, a consistent, beautiful, everyday love affair with heaven. So he's consistent, he's faithful, and he's just going on. He's doing the most he can with the world he's in. And then about the ninth hour, verse 3, that's 3 p.m., he saw clearly. Everybody shout clearly. So if you have any kind of vision or dream, and a couple of points, any vision or dream that comes especially clear often comes from a spiritual source. So when there's just piercing clarity to it, there is often then from either side, you know, dark or light, there's often then an author of that message. So it's clearly sent to him, a vision. So God's about to disrupt his world. He's interrupting his journey with this vision. And he saw an angel coming in and saying, Cornelius. Okay, so he sees this vision. The spirit world is opened. And he sees the angel there who calls his name. And when he saw him, he said, what is it, Lord? And he said to him, your prayers and your alms have come up. Everybody shout, come up. Come up for a memorial. Memorial is just something that you remember, okay? The Greek idea is the same as the English idea. It means to call to someone's memory, to remember it. So your gifts and your prayers have risen to God and come before his conscious memory, which God, of course, can't forget, but it's come to the front of the line. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose name is Peter. He's lodging with Simon the tanner by the house by the sea. He will tell you what we must do. Bunch of points. So God, when you're ready for a tipping point, almost always God will send someone into your world that has something you don't. So here's an angel. Woo! Angel comes down. Okay, Cornelius. So the angel said, I can't give you your tipping point, but I can put you to the person who can. So any doctrine brought to man by an angel is almost always false. They're forbidden to bring doctrine. He said, I can't tell you what you need to know, even though I know what you need to know. But God has left the government. So from the angel Moroni from the angel, So lots of really important people who had spiritual experiences got totally weird by saying, an angel told me something. Well, I believe in angels. They're here tonight. They are, celebrating Christ with us. People say all the time, Pastor, it's a big angel. He's right there. I never see him. Some people, God bless all you angels, really discerning of spirits, people will see it. But anytime someone has a revelation brought to an angelic messenger, that has to be like so scrutinized by the Bible. I love the story of Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin is praying. He has a vision of Jesus, not an angel, Jesus. And Jesus says something to him doctrinally. And Kenneth Hagin says back to him, Lord, I thank you for this visitation, but would you please show me that in Scripture? That's not a bad way to approach spiritual experiences, okay? So this angel says, it's time for your breakthrough. Touch someone and say, it's time for your breakthrough. Now, the angel said, in this season of breakthrough, so it's important just to, the context. The Gentiles had not yet been incorporated into the saving grace of Christ. The early church is all Jewish. Jewish people were born, Jewish people proselyted, who then found Christ and became fulfilled Jews, Messianic Jews, as they're called today. So there was no Gentile. He's the first Gentile. So he's been pushed. His lifestyle pushed him to the front of the line of a new dispensation in the earth. Now, get this, because this will be the most important thing I say unless the Holy Spirit gives me better stuff to say. The things we do in this season determines the things God will do in our next season. The things we do in this season determine the things God will do in the next season. So Cornelius faithfully is praying every day. We don't know how long. It could have lasted years. There's years now that this could have occurred. So he's praying, he's giving, he's generous, he's a man, a man that fears God. He's devoted. His devotion is expressed by the way he cares for people, the way he approaches God. He and his disciple, his whole household believes with them. And so all of that is just awesome stuff. He's doing great stuff, and all of it's pleasing God, all of it's good stuff, but more importantly, it's creating a harvest in his future. See, some people, you keep praying about something, nothing happens. You pray, and every time you're praying, you're filling a heavenly reservoir with anointing, deliverance, salvation, breakthrough, and blessing. And what happens is, a lot of people say, well, gosh, I'm praying, nothing's happening. And they are right on the edge of a tipping point when the waters of your prayers come back as an avalanche of anointing and breakthrough and destiny and flood into your world. So the devil will try to discourage you the greatest when you're the closest to a tipping point in the spirit. See, God is faithful. Your loving God is always faithful. Your faithful God always answers prayer. Your faithful God always rewards faith. Your faithful God always fulfills his purpose in our lives if we let him. His faithfulness is not in question. And so if we can just keep being consistent in this season, in the next season, we'll be celebrating what we consistently sow to. Tell your neighbor, don't you dare quit now. Tell them that. So the angel says, you got to go find the preacher man. So you're only one divine appointment away from a tipping point. See, keep your face to heaven, and God will bring into your minded world the face of men. You look, see a lot of people always trying to make it happen. I love wheelers and dealers. I love people. The Bible, the greatest works of the Bible were almost always done by really motivated people. People that bugged everybody until they were converted. Really motivated, high energy, type A, type D, just bombing go-getters, praise God for them. The problem is, in the kingdom, God can't use your strength until it becomes your weakness. What do you mean, Pastor? Well, you have to understand the weakness of your strength is its seduction to trust in it. Amen, preacher man. Thank you, man. Apparently this Presbyterian crowd tonight is going to be quiet. Okay. So the angel says everything you need is just down the street. You're just three blocks away. Come on, come on. See, Peter went to that city. No matter how he ended up there, God brought him there for one dude. And Peter's over there resting, having iced tea. He's sunning in the roof. He's praying, oh God, what a lovely day. He's just enjoying his life. And he's about to have a divine interruption too. So let's read on. The next day, verse 9, as they went on their journey, they drew near their city. Peter went up to the housetop to pray. About the 6th hour, so it's lunchtime, noon, and he became very hungry, wanted to eat. But while they were making ready, so they're making him a BLT. Just kidding. Almost, though. He fell into a trance. The root of the word trance is ecstasy. So he fell into a displacement of mind. So if you've ever had a tremendous spiritual experience where God speaks to you or shows you things, I had a vision with my eyes open. I saw a different world. When I was at a 40-day fast, I wrote a book about it. Incredible. When you have these events, they're life-transforming. So in this trance, in this vision, so it doesn't mean that he went like this, I can't move or whatever. So it just means that his senses are suspended because he's now been animated by a superior world. The spiritual world now has overwhelmed him and is going to make sure he sees something. So he's going to watch a movie 3 times until he gets it. And so he saw the heaven open. Everybody shout the heaven open. So he saw the heaven open and a great object, a great sheet bound by 4 corners descending on him, being led to the earth, all kinds of four-footed animals, wild beasts, creeping things, birds of the air. So he's seeing little piggies, little lobster, little crabs. He's seeing things that are not kosher or forbidden by Jewish law and Jewish tradition to eat. And a voice then says, rise, Peter, kill and eat. And he resists it. And talks back to heaven and says, you must be wrong, God. No, Lord, for I've never eaten anything common or unclean. So there are things that the church adopts as permanent or as full that are only temporary and incomplete. There are beliefs, practices, behaviors, attitudes, theologies that we adopt as perfect, but they're incomplete or imperfect, as full when they're not full. So to escape out of the limiting factors, the Holy Spirit can't do a heavenly purpose when the belief of the church does not incorporate that purpose in their hearts. So the Holy Spirit now is trying to open up the Gentile world, which is the most of the world, 99% of the world, to the gospel, and Peter's talking back to God, telling him he's wrong. Now, you would be shocked how many things in your lifetime, the older you get, the more you recognize how wrong stuff was. I used to believe this. I used to believe this was totally 100% true. But then the Holy Spirit expanded my theology, both by divine encounters, by inner illumination, by visions, dreams, and by the revelation of the Word of God. It was always in the Word, but my revelation of the Word was always incomplete. I didn't see it until now. So he has this vision, not once. The voice spoke to him a second time. And this was done three times. Everybody say three times. So anything in life that God thinks is important enough for you to do, he will tell you to do it more than once. The law of three is the law of confirmation. Out of the mouth of two or three witnesses shall any word be confirmed or established. So if you feel like, oh, Pastor, God spoke to me something, I can't remember what it was, it's okay, he'll circle back around. The big themes of your life are the constant themes of heaven to you when heaven's speaking to you. Okay. So while Peter wondered within himself what this vision meant, so Peter now is wrestling with this. So he saw the same thing three times. Heaven's just banging him, okay? Heaven's breaking in. So as that happens, he's thinking about it. The men from Cornelius' house come to Simon's house, stood at the gate that are asking for Peter. Verse 19, while Peter thought about the vision, the Holy Spirit said to him, everybody say the Spirit speaks. So he has a trance, a heavenly vision, and now the Holy Spirit now speaking with the still small voice in his spirit speaks to him. So the Holy Spirit now is the governor of God's will. The Holy Spirit is orchestrating this entire event. So there are many rooftops we need to get off of when the Holy Spirit says it's time to go down and help people. So there are many places in life that we're comfortable at that the Holy Spirit says, I need you to go do something for me. Get down there. Someone's at the door. So Peter hears the Holy Spirit, and his Holy Spirit says, three men are seeking you. Arise, go down, and go with them. Doubt nothing, for I have sent them. So that's kind of a firm word to Peter. So in other words, Peter, don't fight me on this. Stop trying to improve or advise the Trinity. Just go with it, baby. Tell your neighbor, go with it, man. Come on. Then Peter went down to the man who had been sent. I am he that you seek. What reason have you come? And then they explained to him, hey, our boss, Cornelius, is a just man, godly man. He had heaven an angel come and tell him to find you. So they're going to go. Verse 24. The following day, they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them. And they called together his relatives and close friends. So the whole house is packed out at Cornelius' place, waiting for Peter. As Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him, fell down at his feet and worshiped him. Peter said, you trying to get me killed? Stand up, I myself am also a man. Now couple of really important points. In the kingdom of God, you can go as high as your humility allows you. And so the only thing that will cripple the ascent of your life in the kingdom is when you want to share the glory with God about what's happening. I always watch, doesn't matter if it's an athlete, an actor, a politician, or a business person, an educator, I always, when they're on the pinnacle of achievement, I always want to listen to what they say. I want to thank my parents. It's good to thank your parents. I want to thank my thing. And when they don't mention God, you can count them out for the next thing God's going to do. So Peter says, the only person that's worshipped in our world is Jesus, the Father, the Holy Spirit. So you have to get this now, because this was, you know, someone falling down and actually worshiping him. But you have to deflect praise. See, I used to be, I wouldn't let people praise me. Pastor, that was a great sermon. But now I take it like gum. Chew it for a few moments, taste it, and I spit it out. If you swallow it, it sickens you. So, pride is to rob God of his glory in the face of our achievement. So, Peter said, nope, don't worship me, man. I'm a man just like you. And I like that, Because as long as you can keep reminding people in the kingdom, I love to tell people all the time. So, you know, I'm doing a couple big conferences this summer and stuff. So I will always begin the conferences with just my testimony, just briefly, and because I want everyone to know that I'm a human being and I've had a human journey filled with, you know, difficulties, trials, sorrows, failures. And so my humanity is the same as any other person's humanity. You with that?
Yes.
Because I grew up in a culture when some people acted like they were more than they were. Okay. Don't worship me, man. So then he goes, so he's talking with them. He found the whole room. Then he said to them, you know, verse 28, how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with one or go to it. So Peter said, I'm in conflict right now. So Peter said, I shouldn't even be here. It's against the law. It's against my tradition. It's against my theology. But God's breaking through all my limiting. But God, breakthrough. Break through our roofs. Break through our ceilings. Break through our prisons. Break through our limitations. Break through our it's not, theology is not bad, except it has to keep growing. So, but God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. So he's talking out now. He's verbalizing what he's internally, you know, processing. Therefore, I came without objection as soon as I was sent. I asked then for what reason he sent me. Cornelius says, hey, man, we want to know about God in heaven and what's going on. This angel said that there's more. Tell your neighbor there's more. Tell someone on the other side there's more for you. So he tells them all how it happened. So verse 34, Peter opened his mouth and said, I perceive in truth that God shows no partiality. Well, what a great, great sentence, okay? But in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. Peter could have stopped there. This is so powerful. So you have to get this, because God does not see like we see. God does not show favoritism by race or culture or nation or family status. He treats everyone equally. At the foot of the cross, we're all the same. And so then he said this, that God is fair. Tell your neighbor, God is fair. So that means everyone gets the same chance with God. God shows no partiality. You have to get that. Cain is in trouble because he's jealous. Jealousy is a revelation of really insecurity, your own insecurities. Because if someone else is being blessed and you're not happy, it's because you're jealous. If you're jealous, deal with it and recognize that you don't want to be unhappy because someone else is blessed. You want to get to the point where you can celebrate other people's victories. So it's just so important because it helps us know where we are. And the Lord says, why are you angry? And Cain says, blah, 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 because my brother, that jerk over there, you accepted his offering and you rejected mine. And you know, here's what God says. God says, if you do what he did, you can have what he has. You have to get this. Because in the kingdom, anybody can be blessed. Anybody, if it's in the Bible, anybody can have it. Anybody. So if we do what the people in the Bible did, we can have what the people in the Bible had. So God said to Cain, you got it wrong. I'm not unfair. I'm not partial. I'm not unjust. I haven't decided to bless Abel and curse you. No, he did right. And if you do right, if you become consistent and generous and faithful and devout like him, then you'll have a tipping point too. Come on. So a lot of people could have tipping points if they would just stop gossiping. The problem with gossip is not that, you know, who hears it, who doesn't. The problem with gossip is God hears it. It's always a problem, amen? Someone say bummer. Yeah. The word of God, verse 36, sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace to Jesus Christ. He's Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed in all Judea, began from Galilee with after the baptism of John. Verse 38, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, the man from Nazareth, Jesus, with the Holy Ghost and with power. Who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Well, that's such a, how God anointed that same God, that same anointing, that same Holy Spirit anoints you. That same Holy Spirit brings power to you. And that power has the ability to bring tipping points of radical dynamic change in our lives when we unleash it. And Peter, so Jesus went about in bad places doing good, in sick places healing. That's what you call a tipping point, man. Okay. We are witnesses of all these things. Peter said, I'm a firsthand witness of these things, which he did in the lands of the Jews in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God. So to the apostles, to the women, to certain select people who were handpicked and hand chosen, God picked these folks. Sounds like I'm in a well. So as he's preaching, let's go on. To him, verse 43, to him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in his name shall receive. So Peter's thinking, where do I start with someone? And so Peter's going to go through, well, let's begin with, you know, redemption. Let's talk about grace. Let's talk about substitutionary. Let's just go through. And so Peter's got on his mind, this is going to be a good 6.5-hour sermon. Because these folks, and so I love the next verse. While Peter was still speaking, the Holy Ghost fell upon those who heard the word. Me likey. Amen. You can tell when a preacher's gone too long when the Holy Spirit goes on without him. Usually you could feel something else leave the room. But in this case, something fell in the room. And so he's talking. He said, Jesus of Nazareth, the prophet said, this is he. They killed him. He rose up. He's talking. He's explaining. He's declaring. And all of a sudden, they all start talking in tongues. Peter's like, you got to get saved first. So apparently, while he's talking, they're all believing. No altar call, no screaming repentant services, just an inner saying says, I believe that. I believe that. And next thing, an uncontrollable explosion of the Holy Spirit's manifestation happened. They all at once, unanimously and spontaneously started speaking in unlearned languages. Now, it's my opinion God was doing this just for Peter and whoever else came with him on this trip, because he's suspicious of these Gentiles because they eat pigs. And so while he's processing that, the Holy Spirit, and Peter says, that's the same way we got it. That's the same way it began. And so it did a bunch of things. Right away, it it separated him from having an exclusive spirit.
Well, I was in the room with the 120. I don't know how you were filled with the Holy Spirit, apparently here in this church. Well, good for you. But I was in the upper room. Good. We got the same Holy Ghost here in the dream room as you did in the upper room, okay? So the Holy Spirit falls on them. And they hadn't been baptized in water. And so another point. So the church, whenever we become too formalistic. So you have to get this. There are people in your world right now that you don't even include as possibilities in the next move of God. Those people are, oh, are you kidding me? Those people eat this or ride that or do that or dance that or wear that or go, they're tattooed. Or whatever it is. And see, the Holy Spirit has to break into our limiting beliefs and show us how much he loves them and that he's about to visit them and he wants to use us for that mission. So we have to be non-prejudicial to become valuable. You must get this. Most people in the church, the American church, don't view themselves as prejudiced. But if you go to an all-black church, an all-Hispanic church, or all-white church, just saying, baby. You must like the people that look like you. And for God to get us to reach people that don't look like us, he has to sometimes visit us. You breathing out there? Okay. In the same way, we are doctrinally prejudicial. And one of the great seductions of the enemy, if he can't get you to sin, if he can't get you to smoke and die early or drink and die drunk, I'm not picking on you, I'm sorry. If you drink wine for your stomach's sake, God bless you. If you do those things that our problem is this. We create a fence of security called doctrine around what we are comfortable in believing. And God says, there's nothing wrong with the Lord did not say the time of the Jews was over. He said, I'm engrafting the Gentiles. So it wasn't a tearing down of the fence, it was an expanding of it. We're in a season when God's stretching the wineskins. He's stretching the fence of our belief. He's stretching our comforts. All of a sudden, it appears that the new Pope speaks in tongues. So half of you don't think a Pope is allowed to speak in tongues. And apparently, Jesus forgot to ask you first before he made him speak in tongues. Now, I actually have some really good inside knowledge there from at least three or four sources. So I'm kind of connected there. But well, Pastor, what about all the idolatry they have? What about all the idolatry we have? Now, I agree that there are issues in Catholic belief. Issues that are not clearly revealed in the scripture. So whenever we add by our decrees, by our traditions, by our ideas, whenever we start praying to people instead of to God, whenever we talk to angels and not to Jesus, and not to Father, it's wrong. At the same time, God loves people who are wrong. Now, my favorite thing is what the Lord showed me, a great move of God coming upon Mormons. Now, the reason why I love that, now, you know, Pastor, don't you know the Mormon, you know, faith is wrong? Well, of course. So what? What about all the people sitting in Mormon churches that fear God, that give alms, that pray regularly to the best they know? Can't you just see the Holy Ghost? Okay. You can't see it. I can. I refuse to live in a state where we automatically disqualify a fourth of the state because they're of a group of people we don't believe can be saved. I refuse to join that club. It doesn't matter. So get ready, baby. So in your world, let's now get it. You've been praying about some people, some things, some stuff, some promises, some destiny, and the devil has tried to exhaust you with emotional fatigue, so you stop believing and praying and giving. But I got a word from you, and the word is you're on the verge of a season when you're going to reap in that season what you've sown in this season. The things you've been doing in this season are going to release God to do the things he's going to do in that season. And if you can just keep contending, praying, believing, and giving. Pastor, I've been giving so long, nothing's happened. Tipping point. Pastor, I've been praying for 20 years. Tipping point. Holy Spirit, I ask you to come right now. Precious comforter and counselor, teacher, intercessor, strengthener, helper, guide, advocate, come. Overshadow us. Break into our world with revelation. Expand our territories, our fences, our philosophies, our beliefs, our expectations, our theologies. Break into anything that's too small for the big thing you're about to do. And I thank you, faithful God. God is faithful. I thank you, faithful God, that the prayers of your church, your people, your children have filled a great well in heaven. And you are going to pour that well back to us, not as a prayer back to us, but as the answers. God, come on, I feel us right there. America's at a tipping point, whether you believe it or not, because you can be so focused on the negativity of this moment that you miss what's happening in a small group of radical, devoted Christians who have been praying, giving, and serving, and consistent for decades, and you've missed, if you can't see this group of people that mostly are unknown and unnoticed and unrecognized and unhonored, that group of people has been so consistent that on their behalf, something great is coming to America. Worship team, please come out of the closet and help me finish the service. I mean, come out of the special anointed prayer room where you watch the service. Would you stand your feet, everybody, this evening and worship the Lord with me? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I just want to pray a couple things in closing. Number one, I just want to really, really, really encourage you. If you have felt, the Bible says, having done all. Have you ever done all and nothing happened? Anybody? I'm just going to assume the rest of you are lying. I remember Dr. Ray was preaching here, started, you know, after our debacle in Scottsdale. I'm preaching. 7 years the church didn't grow. I'm preaching the best. Heaven's opening. I'm getting more revelation, truth. The stuff I'm preaching now, I preached then. Nothing's happening. And I found that a lack of progress was as discouraging as a great setback. And I said, God, I can't keep putting me anywhere in the world where I can see fruit. And it wasn't 3 months after that prayer, we began a new church called this Church for the Nations on 90th Avenue. And God's answered that. You're right there when you're the weariest. You're right there when the devil says, stop praying. You're right there. So if that's you, say, Pastor, I've been fighting discouragement, emotional fatigue. I've been just all kinds of stuff happening in my life. And man, this word is for me. So if that's you, if that, I want you to just hold up your hand in honesty. We're just going to pray over you and believe with you as your sisters and brothers. So if someone has their hand raised around you, would you just slide over to them? And I just want you to pray this prayer over them. Make sure everybody has somebody praying for them. And you might have to pray for each other if everyone in your eyes are hand raised. Just do this. Just tell them the Holy Spirit says you're at a tipping point. And everything is about to change. Come on. The Holy Spirit says you're at a tipping point. When your prayers will be answered. You're at a... God remembers. The faithful God remembers every prayer uttered. Every act of obedience. Every sacrifice of time or treasure. God remembers it all. And he is with you to help you. And we pray for strength. Come on, let's pray for him. Father, we pray for finishing strength and grace. We pray in this moment of their journey, God, they would feel refreshed, rejuvenated, restored, God, that they would feel your love, your grace, your spirit affecting a powerful, strengthening grace. In Jesus' name, we bind every lie of the devil that is trying to tell them to quit. We break every assignment of hell against their life family. We declare, God, your kingdom come, your will be done over them. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, God. Now let's keep praying. Now we just release and declare a summer of miracles over you in Jesus' name. Come on, Tasi, come on. We just declare in Jesus' name that this you will see in this season a demonstration of God's kingdom and power. Come on, pray. Summer of miracles.
Our God is strong in us. His love has overcome. He is alive in us. He is the risen one. The same power that raised him.
Come on, lift up your hands and lift up your voice. Sing. Our God is strong in us.
Our God is strong in us. Our God is strong in us. Our God is strong in us. His love has overcome. He is alive.
Altar team, would you please join me down front?
He is the
same power.
The same power that raised him.
Can someone put it on the screen, please?
The power that lives in us.
Our God is strong in us.
Our God is strong in us. Our God is strong in us.
Lord, we worship you and praise you. We celebrate you tonight. Come on. Let's close the service with a great praise and a great thanksgiving for all that God is to us. Come on. Get ready for divine appointments. Get ready for God to interrupt your schedule with divine encounters. Get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. Come on.
God is strong in us. His love has overcome. He is alive in us. Strong in us, His love has overcome. He is alive in us. He is the
same power that raised Him up, is the power that lives in us.
Our God is strong in us.
Our God. Listen, before you go home, anyone that needs prayer tonight, if you've never received the peace, the love, the grace, the forgiveness of your Father in the person of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of Jesus will be saved. Today's your night. This is your night. If you've been away from God, come back tonight. Settle it. Breakthrough. If you say, Pastor, I need a physical healing, we want to pray for you. If you're just going through difficulty, want some more prayer, come forward. If you, we talked about the Holy Spirit. If you have not yet been spirit baptized with the evidence, scriptural evidence of a prayer language, we'd love to pray for you. Anyone wanting prayer, come on down one more time. Our God is strong in us.
Our God is strong in us. His love has
worship you, Lord. Thank you, God. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. I declare that this is a summer of strength over your life, a summer of renewal, a summer when you recover physically, emotionally, spiritually, relationally, every part of your life. I love you, an awesome church. You can stay here and worship for a while if you want to. If you need to go, God bless you. Tell 3 or 4 people, your tipping point is here. God bless you. Bring someone Sunday here, Apostle Dutch Sheets. Yeah.